May the Lord help us to commence by singing from the hymn sheet, "Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more." The first hymn.
Sinners, poor and This evening I'd like to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the prophet Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll just read the first five verses. Isaiah chapter 40, the first five verses. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now let us turn to Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Ward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? All the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come to thee through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we come as sinners. Lord, we plead that precious name, that precious blood shed at Calvary. O Lord, we thank thee that the gospel is for sinners. But Lord, sometimes when we look at how black our sins are, Lord, our faith staggers that it should be for such. And O Lord, yet to whom can we go? And Lord, thou wast made flesh and dwelt among us. And Lord, thou hast given every assurance. And thy name is bound up with that assurance, that thou didst come into this world to save sinners. And O Lord, we do seek that we might be blessed by thee in turning away every one of us from our sins. O take away the love of sinning and deliver us from the power and dominion of it within. O Lord, do grant us to be truly washed and sanctified and made meet for the Master's use, and that we might be saved from this world and from all the sin and corruption and evil that is in it. O Lord, thou hast said that it is the victory that overcometh this world is even our faith. And do grant us that faith that looks beyond these pleasant things of sin, pleasant to the old nature, grievous to the new. O Lord, do grant us with Moses to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. O Lord, we seek thy blessing upon this cause of truth, to bless each gathered tonight and those that gather on thy day. Lord, those at home with the children. And Lord, do bless their deacons, do be with them. And be pleased to provide in the church here an under-shepherd to go in and out amongst them. And O Lord, do bless the ministry, do bless the word tonight, and that already attended to by thy servants who gather and have gathered in recent days here. O Lord, we do seek of thee that thy word might have free course and that thou be glorified. Do bless the word read, the word preached, and the word sung. And Lord, do grant that thou hast blessed that petition offered up as well. O Lord, we thank thee for thine intercession in heaven and the voice that speaks for us there, and that thou art our sympathizing high priest. We particularly bring before thee those in sorrow at this time. We do pray for Jeremy and Hannah to comfort them in their loss and each of the family. And O Lord, remember others also that have walked this path. And O Lord, comfort them afresh. And do remember others, Lord. We know around this time there's been so many that have been called from this earthly scene. And Lord, some a great age and others much younger, and some not yet have seen the light of day. And O Lord, thou art the God of all. O Lord, thou art he in whom our breath is. And thou art alone the one that is able to give the new birth, spiritual life, and that good hope through grace, a hope beyond the grave. And we do seek that we might be amongst the living that lay these things to heart. Lord, often we feel such a hard, cold, unmoved, unfeeling heart that doesn't respond in the way we feel it should with news that we hear, things that we pass through and others pass through, a lumpish, dry, unfeeling, stone-like heart. Oh, do be pleased to soften it and do grant that we might feel, and that thou hast granted us to be softened under thy dealings of mercy with us, that we might tremble at thy judgments, that we might be of those that do know changes and do fear the Lord. O Lord, do grant that there might be a working together for good. And may there be those souls here that know that that is so in their lives, that those things that have happened, that they might fall out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, we do seek that thou would remember the church of God. We feel to be in a low condition. Do stir us up to greater watchfulness, prayerfulness, to greater desire to crucify the flesh and mortify our sin, and to live to thine honour and glory. Remember any exercised in the path of obedience in the house of God. O Lord, we do thank thee for those at Oakington that hope to put thee on in open profession. But Lord, we are persuaded there are others that are exercised in this way. And O be pleased to bless the hymn we have sung, and to bless thy word and thy dealings, that it might make the way clear, that where there is that desire, even this night, to show clearly whose we are, whom we serve, who it is that hath wrought in our heart and in our lives, that thou hast been pleased to reveal this through thy word. Lord, we do pray that thou hast been with our young people, bless them here, those who have turned in from their labours of the day, and, O Lord, those that are older as well, we pray for dear aged friends, help them be with them in the eventide of their lives. Those in the Bethesda and Pilgrim homes, we pray for them. And, O Lord, do bless our churches, increase and strengthen them. Be pleased to send forth more labourers into the harvest. Extend to us the privileges of freedom of worship, and watch over our assemblies, as has been highlighted recently. Those that hate any gathering together to serve any God, and, O Lord, we do seek thy protection and thy care. We do thank thee for the privilege of being able to come apart from the world and worship thee, and we pray for a true spirit of worship tonight. And even if we come in the way of this Syrophoenician woman who worshipped thee, saying, Lord, help me. And, O Lord, do wash and cleanse us of our sin. Grant us, Lord, that application of thy precious blood. O, help us to confess daily and hourly. Remember thy precious promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Especially remember those who look upon their sins, their besetting sins, and wonder how they can ever get out of that pit of corruption, the cycle of sinning and repenting. Lord, the turning again and seeing more and more abominations. O Lord, truly we are corrupt and depraved in every part. And Lord, we do pray that thy almighty power might be put forth to restrain that wickedness, to blot it out, to sanctify us, and cause that we might not serve sin, but serve our Lord Christ. We pray for those in authority over us at this time, in this important time in our nation. Lord, we are in this time, and yet we are a nation that has departed from thee and has no claim whatsoever upon thy protection and help. But thou hast bid us to pray for those in authority over us, and we seek for wisdom for them. We seek above all that we might see thine overruling hand, Lord, that we might know that thou art in control. We know thou art. But, Lord, we thank thee for those times that we have been able to see that thou dost reign above all the plottings and schemings of man. We seek, Lord, that those things that are happening in our nation at this time might be part of an answer to our cries to send a spiritual revival in this land. Lord, we are a land of ease and plenty, and men do not want to hear of thee and have no need of thee. Be pleased to bring about those circumstances where that shall change, and we shall see men in need and a desire unto the true and the living God. Now, O Lord, do grant us thy gracious help this evening, both in speaking and in hearing. Bless thy word to us, And, O Lord, satisfy thy poor with bread. Answer the prayers of those who have supplicated thy blessing. And, O Lord, do grant there to be a flowing together. Lord, we have read of those three ministers, and they all preached that same gospel that was not yea and nay, but yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And may it ever be that those who supply this pulpit, that we might come with the same message and the same gospel and with the same power. O Lord, bless us with thy Spirit then. Sanctify us and make us meet for thy use. May thy word come pure, untouched by sinful hands, and received into the hearts of thy people. We ask, giving thanks for every blessing, undeserved they are, and so much more the greater because of it. For thou art a great God and merciful God, and has blessed us in providence and in grace. We acknowledge thy goodness, and for all help received, and all strength of body and of mind that has been received, we thank thee for it. We ask thee these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to our second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul, in his life and ministry, endured much tribulation, many afflictions, much persecution, and many, many trials. But he uses these things, and he, instead of conveying them to discouraging of his hearers, he would encourage them that those things he suffered, they were actually receiving the benefit from what he passed through, because he was able to comfort them and minister to them. And those things that happened in his life were not, as it were, disjointed from his ministry. They were needed. And so he conveys to them a wonderful principle in blessing God, and he's showing forth where the source of this comfort and help has come from. He then brings that principle of joining together the trials and tribulations of the people of God, and joining together the trial and then the comfort that they had, and what each other had experienced in those things, that it might be a benefit and blessing, not just to one, but to many. He uses the illustrations, if there's a trial and many people are praying for that person in that trial, and the Lord appears for them, then many people then are returning thanks for that same one thing. So one thing that affects one member of the Church of God touches the prayers and supplications of many. And not only the supplications, but touches their thanksgivings as well. And is in that way the Lord keeps the Church of God alive, not just from what's happening to them, but what's happening to others as well. And you might say, well, the Apostle Paul, his troubles and his distresses were because he was a Christian and because he was a bold preacher, and so that doesn't really relate to me, because maybe some of my trials and my troubles, they're not equivalent. Can I really have comfort and consolation where it's not in direct proportion to preaching Christ or being persecuted? It's troubles in my life, it's sorrows, it's distresses in that way. But the Apostle says in our text that it is in not some of our tribulation, but all of our tribulation, and to be able to comfort them which are in not just some trouble, but in any trouble. So it applies the principles in our text, and the things that we have set before us apply really to each one of us here. And in the Church of God, the trials and the tribulations that we go through. Perhaps to give another illustration of how you can draw that teaching from one to another to get a principle, the Apostle later on in this chapter, he tells them about his plans to come to them again and that they might have a second benefit. And he says in verses 15 and 16 how he's planning to pass by them into Macedonia, come again out of Macedonia unto you, and then by you be brought on my way to Judea. So it's all about making his plans for his journey. And then he asked the question, when he was making those plans, did he use lightness, or the things that he purposed, was there with me, was it according to the flesh, or that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? The plans that he made, was he saying, these are my plans and they're going to happen? He verily made those plans subject to the will of God. But then he leads on from his making his plans and the thought of a yea and a nay, or it might be, it might be not, to the preaching of the word. And he said, well, the preaching of the word, that is not just it might be this, it might be that. The preaching is yea, yea, nay, nay. It's absolutely certain. Yes means yes and no means no. The authority of the gospel. A preacher shouldn't be known for, wouldn't hold anyone a offender for a word, but for a preacher to say, well, perhaps this and that, or this might be this, or a sermon full of uncertainties is not the certainty of the word of God, because we have the authority of the word of God, and preaching is the authority of declaration of the word of God. And this is why the apostle, he said, brethren, pray for us, because we don't want to mix our own words with the word of God, but to bring you the word. And that is what I desire to do from these two words here, because in these two verses there is the source of comfort and God's plan, God's arrangement in bringing this comfort to his people. And it's a beautiful plan that he has set forth here in these two verses. Ever since the fall, there has been in this world trouble, distress, griefs, sorrows. And that applies to all that come into this world. Man that is born of a woman, says Job, is born unto trouble. He goes forth from the womb speaking lies, and he goes forth under the sentence of death. As soon as we begin to live, we begin to die. And he's absolutely certain that we must pass that way. And all of the sorrows and distresses in this world are due to sin. They all have the ingredients of the death in it. And we need to always remember that when we hear of all sorts of things that are happening, that we need to remember that God created this world pure and perfect, with no death and no suffering or grief. But when sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that is the cause of all the distresses that we see. So in that way, that is one aspect of the troubles and the sufferings that are in this world that each partakes of. But then there comes another. When the Lord begins to awaken a sinner, and he first knows that he is a sinner, then he has sufferings and griefs and sorrows of a different sort. You know, Jabez in his prayer, he says, oh, that thou hast blessed me indeed, and he says that thou hast keep me from evil, that it grieve me not. He doesn't say it doesn't grieve thee, it doesn't grieve me. And I hope that is the desire of us each year. The Lord keeps us from evil, that it doesn't grieve us. You know, one dead in sin, he will commit sin and it doesn't grieve him, doesn't trouble them at all. But for a child of God, their grief is that they cannot cease from sin. In their thoughts, their words, their deeds. O wretched man that I am, says the apostle, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that will be a particular sorrow and grief and a tribulation to an awakened sinner. It's not something that those dead in trespasses and sins know anything of that. Time of Jacob's trouble, we may say. Time of an awakened soul that first has trouble because he's a sinner. You think of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, beating upon his breast, a real feeling of that. Then there is that which the Apostle Paul here had much of, which was persecution. Our Lord said that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Those that confess the Lord Jesus Christ and walk openly as his disciples must expect that tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Why? Because ye have fellowship with the Lord in his sufferings. And so there's the path of persecution. But then there's another aspect of suffering and of tribulation, a soul that will need comfort under that. And that is an exercised soul passing through this world. Those that we mentioned first, the troubles that mankind have, is common to all. Yet when God's people have those, they have exercise with it. Two people have sickness or sorrow or death in something, some way. One does not fear God, and their trial is just, and not to minimize it, just the loss they have had or the affliction that they are in. That is the sum and substance of their trial. But the other, they have that, but added to that, they have the exercise before God. Is it chastening? Is it the Lord's hand? Or Satan comes in and he says, if you were a child of God, this wouldn't have happened. And so there's this attack from Satan on that side. We read that the Lord does use chastening for all of his dear children. And in Hebrews, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, but grievous. And so whatever the Lord uses in that way, it's got that added to it. You think of the book of Job. All of the things that he lost, all of his loved ones, his flocks, his herds, all of his friends, his own health, his strength, all that he lost, but most of the book of Job is not dwelling upon what he lost. It is the exercise of his soul. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And the wrestlings that he had with what the Lord was doing and what was going on in his own soul. That was the great troubles that he had. And it is in that way that we'll be especially applicable to the words of our text for those of God's people, that providence and grace are going together. And maybe with those of you here, you say there was a time in my life that when I had troubles and trials, that is all what it was. But now, when I come into these things, it causes me errands to the throne of grace, searchings of heart. You know, Joseph's brothers, those 17 or so years had gone by since they dealt with their brother like they had. But when Joseph, whom they didn't recognize, started dealing hardly with them, their trial wasn't just how Joseph was dealing hardly with them. Their trial was that it was brought back to their remembrance what had happened 17 years ago. And they said, we heard his cries, and we did not listen. These things have come upon us because of what we did then. Past offences pain our eyes. And you know, even when Joseph, when Jacob had died, they still couldn't believe that Joseph had forgiven them. They still couldn't forgive themselves. They still couldn't forget what they'd done. And they couldn't think that Joseph would forget. And it may be with you that things happen now and they bring your sin to remembrance. They bring you to the throne of grace. And they bring things to go on in your soul that once never happened with those things that you went through. The apostle here, he says that his hope of these Corinthians in verse 7 was steadfast. It was a really good, strong hope. Now remember, the epistles to the Corinthians, there's a lot of warnings, a lot of reproofs with them. They weren't a perfect people by any way. But he could see that they were the people of God. And this is one reason why he had this steadfast hope, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also with the consolation. Suffering is joined with consolation. Remember that our Lord said, ye must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. And when the apostles would comfort the disciples, they said, and ye must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. A reminder that it is the path of God's people. It's not a strange path. It is an appointed path. Because where there is the suffering, then there's a consolation. And those of you who fear the Lord, hear. Is it times when everything is smooth, that your soul is in a good state, your prayer is lively, you're close to the Lord, or is it tribulation? And is it trial? The Lord uses trials and he uses tribulations. He uses those things and it's not a mark against you, it's a mark for you. And the apostle could very clearly see that here. And we see in our text the blessed plan of the Lord, how he takes those things that are most trying and hard to the flesh and brings spiritual comfort and blessing to the soul. So we read the chapter in Isaiah, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. It's very evident right through the word of God that God would have his children to be comforted. May that put a stop to any of the devil's lies in that way. As if he would say there, you're in tribulation and trouble, but don't seek for comfort and help because you deserve it. You've walked it. You're a sinner. Now those of you that are parents, if you correct your children and they're crying, they're distressed because you've corrected them, does not your heart yearn to comfort them? And as soon as you can, you will. Now it hurts the parent just as much as the child. And the Lord, his will is to comfort his people. And that needs to be firmly realized, that when we are in distress, and you think of the meaning of comfort, it is the alleviating or the easing of a person's feelings of distress and grief at the tribulation. That is what comfort is. You ease or alleviate their grief and their distress. But also, not only does God make it clear that he will have his people comforted, but he makes provision for it as well. Not just an empty comfort, but a real solid comfort. And that is in our text. Thinking of all of the blessings, the comforts in the Word of God, if there is no trial, no tribulation, no trouble, none of those blessings would be yours or mine. How many things that you and I have walked in have unlocked parts of the Word of God that before we had not walked in? Blessings that the Lord could not have given apart from what he has called us to walk through. I want to look with the Lord's help at 3 points in these two verses. And the first one, and based on in verse 3, is the source and who it is that comforts. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And secondly, I want to look at the plan, how it is set before us here that binds the people of God together and binds them together with the Lord himself. And then lastly, how God comforts his people, just some different ways that are set before us in the Word that he does it, that we can recognize the work of the Lord. It's a great blessing to recognize God working according to his plan and his channel. But firstly, the source. The most beautiful verse is verse 3, when the apostle blesses God and then not only says, blessed be God, but then he says what he means. Now, of course, we know the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But here the apostle, and he points us to the Father. Now, our Lord said this when he was upon earth, the Father himself loveth you. We must never think that we have God as an angry God, the Son as a loving Son, as a mediator in between. The Father himself loveth you. And here our attention is drawn unto the Father in several beautiful ways. Firstly, he says, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of what God said to Abraham on Mount Moriah, because thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me, therefore in blessing I will bless thee, and in thee and in all shall all the nations of the earth, all kindreds be blessed. Well, God the Father withheld not his only begotten son. Abraham's son was taken off the altar. God's son was laid on the altar. He offered himself a spotless sacrifice. The God that gave his son. Remember Abraham's words? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Our Lord Jesus is God. If you have seen me, you have seen my Father also. He is the provision. And all the comfort that comes to the people of God comes through that provision. The very gift of the Lord Jesus Christ was said as to appear to comfort his people and to bless his people And the source of that is if the apostle would say, you want to know where your comforts are coming from? You look at who gave his only begotten son to suffer on Calvary, to lay down his life. That's the source. And then another time the apostle uses a similar argument, and he says, he that spared not his own begotten son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That is, how shall he not, having given his beloved son first, how shall he not with him, with that gift, give us all things? He certainly will. And so that title is given here, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord is set forth here because he was not an unwilling coming, but he came willingly and came to his dear people. And the things that he spake and the things that he did with them and his disciples was all for their comfort. These things I tell you, that when they come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. And was it not our Lord that said that he would pray the Father and he would give you another comforter? While he was on earth, he was their comforter. Another comforter which shall abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. He is also the Spirit of truth. He is also the remembrancer. And so when we have the source, a triune God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, what an answer this is. When the devil comes in, he says, you don't deserve comfort. You don't deserve any alleviating of your trials, anything to take away your distress or your need. And you say, no, I don't deserve it. But it's on mercy's ground. And it comes forth from the Father of mercies, the source of every mercy. Who asked the Father to send his Son? Who asked him to provide a ransom? Who asked him to save his people? All comes from himself, freely, unasked. I pass by thee when thou wast in thy blood, and when thou wast in thy blood, I bid thee live. And the salvation, it flows from God. And then we have, and the God of all comfort. All comfort truly comes from God. You might say, well, does that apply to the world as well? The comfort that those who don't fear God have, does that come from God as well, or do they have some other source? And you might say, well, some get comfort in false gods and false comforts. All real comfort comes from the Lord. And we may be very careful in this, because we think of healing and the 10 lepers that were healed. They all received that healing, but only one returned to give thanks to God for it. In our hospitals today, you go into a ward and there might be one of the Lord's people in a 6-bed ward. And they'll be the only one that's asking for healing from God. And when it's giving, to give thanks to God. But the other 5, they're healed and they go home and they're all right too. And they'll turn around and they'll say, well, what difference? We didn't ask, we didn't thank. We got healed. So what's the use of your faith? But when you know that it is God that has healed them, And at last judgment day, God will say to them, you never asked for my help, I gave it. When I gave it, you never returned thanks. But this my child has begged me for it and asked for it, and I heard their prayers, and they turned and gave thanks to me. It's to see it in the right way. There's not any other source, true source of love, true source of comfort than God himself. And for the people of God, they are to be like that one that returned to give thanks. And in their troubles and in their trials, to look for comfort, ask for comfort from the source here, the God of all comfort. And when it is given, receive it as such from the Lord. Take it as a token for good and a blessing that's been asked for and traced back to the fountain head. Clearly seeing that the trial came at God's command, not by chance. The comfort and blessing came as an answer to prayer and at God's decree. And seeing that, the Lord's favour to you, not in only causing you to pass through that way, but for opening your eyes to see it as such and to receive it as such as the Lord's hand and the Lord's doing. The psalmist said, it's good for me that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And so we need to be clear of the source of every blessing. The hymn writer says every blessing and every favour comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. You know, it's easy to say sometimes we don't believe in luck and chance. But do we equally believe strongly the other way? That our lives come at God's decree, the sorrows and the blessings and the helps. Or do we listen to Satan and rob the Lord of his praise and don't receive the comfort and token for good that we really should receive? We want to notice then in this second place God's plan. Now it's a plan that binds together the people of God. Now notice what we have in verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So he's speaking primarily, we may say, of himself, the apostles, but also the Corinthians, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So here we have one of the Lord's children has been in a distress, a trouble. They have received comfort from God, and then they see another of the Lord's dear children in trouble, and they are able to go to them and be a means of comforting and helping them in their trouble. God is still their comforter, but he has seen fit to use another one of his dear people as the means of comforting each other. And we need to see that plan because it's a beautiful plan, because it joins together God and his people together. Two people that have been afflicted with the same affliction. There's a drawing together, isn't there? That have suffered the same loss, there's a drawing together. They understand the path that the other is not able to understand. And God's ordered that in his church. And it binds his people together and to him. Not independent of him. Not saying, well, we'll comfort one another, but we'll leave God out of it. No. It is passing on what we have received from the Lord and the help we've received from the Lord. And that's a great blessing. And it's God's plan and God's order to do that. There's a caution in this, though. We mentioned before about Job. Now, Job had friends, good friends. And when he had all of his troubles, they came to comfort him in his distress. That was their desire. They sat down for 7 days. They couldn't speak to him. They saw his distress was so great. It would have been good if they just went home then, really, in a way, because they hadn't been in Job's trouble. And they really completely misunderstood him. The Lord said at the end to them that they had not spoken of God that which was right, as my servant Job had. And dear Job, he says to them that they have dealt falsely. And he says, miserable comforters are ye all. And in one sense, what had happened, instead of what was in our text, whereas those who really and truly had walked through Job's path or another's path and came and comforted them wherewith the comfort they had received comfort from God, they saw his distress and went to comfort him, but didn't take on board or realize that actually we haven't walked Job's path. We're not really fitted and qualified in this particular trouble and trial to be of help to him. And because it went on and on, a long-running trial, they thought, surely there must be something in Job why this is happening. And they judged him wrong. And so with this in our text, if we are going to comfort someone else, if we're going to be of use that way, we do need to ask ourselves, do we really know that path? Have we really walked that path? The other way is if we realize that perhaps in a congregation like this, and we see another walking in a path of trial, and you think, well, of all this congregation, only myself has really walked this path. I am more in a position than everyone else to offer comfort and to speak to these people. And when you realize that, that would do more a special bond and also bring you into this text, ordered by the Lord to bring together what the Lord has blessed you with and to be of help to that person. And it's a beautiful plan that the Lord has so ordered in that way. He'd have his people walk together in love and union, one with another, and to strengthen each other. And he's seen fit to do it through this path of tribulation and to draw his people to himself and unite them to one another and to the Lord. I hope you can see the plan that God has here. And the effect that it had, I mean, with the apostle, he could look at the Corinthians and their troubles and the path he'd walked and realize his ministry was to be a benefit to them. And in his eyes, he looked on those Corinthians and he felt they are the Lord's people. Because they are receiving benefit through the sufferings and the path that I've walked, I believe they're the Lord's people. And it knits, it makes one to give a witness and feel that witness within, quite apart from whatever might be said by someone else, that they also are partakers of the same blessing and one of the Lord's dear people. Well, I want to look then in the third place at how God comforts his people. What is the way that he uses? Because the way God does it is always in a solid way. It is in a real way. The first way I mention is through the Word of God itself. And we think especially of those words that in the epistle to the Thessalonians, and where he'd answered their troubles and distress, where there were those that saying, well, those that have died, they've perished. And he gives them a real clear view of how it is that God's people that have died, the Lord will bring them again at the last day. And those that are dead in Christ, those shall rise first, and those that are alive shall be caught up with them in the heavens. And so it's in the context of bereavement in death. And at the end of that portion, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And so, not only in that portion, but in right the way through the Word of God, the Lord has laid up words. That which was written aforetime was written for our comfort, for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Word of the Lord is what is used, either spoken one to another, or in the services of the Lord's house, read in the privacy of your home, in the closet. The Lord bringing his word, he sent his word, and he healed them. How many of you have known what it is for the Lord to drop in his healing word, his comforting word to your souls? Then there is the Holy Spirit, the remembrancer. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So it's an extension, as it were, of the word, but it's the Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance. And that's brought to remembrance so timely, so sweetly, so comfortingly to your soul. You think, where did I hear that? Oh, that was a week ago. That was mentioned in the service. Never thought about it at the time, but the Holy Spirit brings it back. And it may be a blessing that you've had. Why did I have that blessing? It was sweet at the time. You rejoiced in it at the time. But a week or so later, or maybe a day later, suddenly an unexpected trial, a difficulty, a distress that comes in, you begin to sink, and the Holy Spirit brings back to remembrance that blessing. And it bears up as like those everlasting arms underneath to support you. And it's been that comfort and support because it's been brought to your remembrance. The comforter is a remembrancer. He is also the Spirit of truth. That provision is a provision for the people of God. Another source of their comfort is the grace of God. He giveth more grace, and grace for grace. That power of God that comes to a poor sinner and calms them and quietens them, and takes away their fears and their distresses. Remember, my dear wife, it's 12 or so years ago now, before her last major operation, heart operation, and we went to, I think it was one of the Tenterton special services, and they gave out the hymn, "Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free." You know, that was blessed to her. That was her plea. See, the Lord gave her a prayer to pray. And you know, when she woke up on her birthday, which is the day after the operation, when she came round from the anaesthetic, and one of the nurses, when she'd been moved from the intensive care back onto the normal ward, A nurse came to her and she said, "You've been such a good patient. You've been so calm." And you know, she didn't know about the hem. She didn't know about what Heather had been pleading at all. But the one thing that she'd noticed was how calm she was, and she said it. And my dear one, she could see that was an answer to prayer. God had answered her prayer and given her calmness that had been noticed by the staff. And it is the Lord that gives that grace, gives that strength and blessing. My grace is sufficient for thee. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from power from heaven. You know, we like to think we've got to tangibly see everything. But God is a God of power that can come and put in a poor sinner's heart and mind such comfort. He gave it to me at one time in distress, and I bowed my head in the study, "Lord, why? Why, when this is what I'm walking through, am I so calm? Why aren't I in such trouble?" And the Lord immediately dropped in the remembrance of, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." If someone had come to me and said, "Are you really trusting in the Lord?" I would have said, "I hope I am." But the Lord brought, he gave me the comfort first and then told me why it was. I've never forgotten the time. But the power that the Lord gives through no word or anything at first just gives that quietness and comfort and help. And that's why we should never overlook that the Lord comforts his people directly from heaven. If he gives peace, who then can make trouble? Comes to his dear disciples, they're fearful, they've got the doors locked because of fear of the Jews, and he comes and he says, "Peace. Peace be unto you, fear not." Then we have the rod and the staff. Remember that beautiful psalm of David? Psalm 23. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The two, the rod on one hand, chastening as it were, the staff supporting on the other hand, the two together. What happened when David had committed adultery and then murder? And God brought him under conviction. He said, "I have sinned." But the Lord then gave his chastening. The sword should not depart from his house. Bathsheba's child was to die. And how David, he wouldn't eat. He fasted all the time. That child was sick. And then when the child died and they didn't know what to say, when he perceived that that was the case, he rose, he washed. He said, "He shall not come to me, I shall go to him." And he knew the word of the Lord was established. The Lord had done what he said he would do. And that comfort that he received was like he says in Psalm 23, the rod and the staff, those two things. A father's hand prepares the cup. What he wills is best. Those times that I felt so anxious when the Lord seemed so far from my reins. Not even a natural trial. They like a parent to keep that know that they've got that restraint. They're not just left to go their own way. When the Lord seems far off, get frightened almost. Then when the Lord brings in his rod, you think, "No, the Lord knows, he sees me." And you're thankful for that correction, for that bringing back. Well, David knew that. Psalm 23, beautiful psalm. Then we think of dear Ruth. You know, Ruth, when she came into the land of Israel, and she was a widow, and her sister-in-law was, her mother-in-law was, and she goes into Boaz's field. And one thing that she says later to Boaz, "Thou hast spoken friendly to me and comforted me." How much that It carries so much weight in comfort, doesn't it? If someone just speaks friendly to you. And when the Lord does that for his people, and you see not a frown, but a smile. Providences might be frowning, troubles all around, but one sweet smile from the Lord. How that balances. Nothing might change round about, but how that changes it in your soul. To feel the smile of the Lord, a little token for good. That is another thing. Psalm 86, another one of David's Psalms. Give me a token for good. And that is in the context of being comforted in that way. Has the Lord given you a token for good? And you've seen it, realized it was given to you as a token. Some of you might have had tokens years ago and you haven't looked at them for a while. You bring them out, as it were, of the cupboard and see these tokens that the Lord has given you. Those evidences of his loving kindness and favour to your soul. And so there's many ways. It may be that another way of comfort, like the Apostle Paul, he realised the things he was going through was to help someone else. Not just ministers that applies to. And sometimes that can be something that's dropped into the soul as well. This, what you're passing through, is to help someone else. Also to have fellowship. Fellowship with the brethren and with the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. Hebrews, it set forth a sympathizing high priest. He knows our feeble frame. He has felt the same. It's only when we go through these things we think, did our Lord really feel all this? Did he endure such for us? And it brings to realize something of the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He makes us to value that high priest above, and one that makes intercession for us. And then it is also a great comfort when we have a good hope through grace, a hope beyond the grave. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, with all men most miserable. The apostle, when he writes to the Romans, he says that he counts that the sufferings of this life, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And those are great comforts to think that that which the Lord gives us here shall make heaven the sweeter, and to wean us here like a thorn in the nest, to long for a heavenly home, and to remember that the Lord, who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, has gone to prepare a place for us where there is no more sorrow, where there's everlasting comfort, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And those things comfort a soul. The Lord has everything at his disposal to exactly suit the comforts for his people in their distress and their sorrow. They may still have to walk through that path. The burden that they've cast on the Lord, they still walk through it. But cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee and give comfort to balance those clouds. We have that in Job. Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds? What a question. Some of you may be able to answer that tonight. And you say, yes, I do know the balancing of the clouds, the tribulations. But then the Lord has brought his comforts, and he's brought with it some tokens for good and some blessings for my soul that I would never be without. And I realize they're also bound up with the path of tribulation and trouble that I've been called to walk through. What a blessing it is, the Lord, that chooses our tribulations and our path and our blessings. And no wonder the apostle begins our text with saying, "Blessed be God." I hope can go home tonight and say the same. Blessed be God. Amen.
God willing, on Friday evening there'll be a church meeting and church prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Sayers on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. Hymn 218.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with you all now and evermore. Amen.